And we're going to be doing, I've entitled the message this morning, Where's the Fire? Where's the Fire? See if I can get it going this morning while you're turning to that. And it's the life of Abraham. Mike? Okay, I see that hand up there. Thank you. Decisions. Okay, am I on now? Okay, we're on. Let me get this going here, and we'll see what happens. All right. Does it say it? Okay, where's the fire? That's the question. See, what in the world are you talking about? And it's Abraham's journey into faith. And what we see with the scriptures is God uses people. Okay? God uses people, people just like you and me. And he uses us in various ways. And we're going to see about that this morning. So if you'll turn to the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, we're going to see the life of one of the persons that God uses. God uses, and now when we start off, we're going to start off talking about Abram. Okay? We know him as Abraham because God changed his name at a certain point in life. But it starts off with Abram. And so what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at him in the Abraham's beginning is chapter number 11. And in the latter part of that verse number, we have the Beatitude. So-and-so begot so-and-so. You can read all those and stumble through those names if you want to. I've had to do it several times, and I still have problems with some of the names. And if we get all the way down to verse number 23, and it says, Serug lived after he begat Nahor 200 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Okay, so that's the beginning of Abraham's life. Okay, and where he was in this country. Okay, and this is the country of Iraq. At this point, it was called Ur of the Chaldees, and you can see it on the map. It says Ur of the Chaldees over there on the right hand side, way down there, kind of at the bottom. That's where he was. That's where he was born, where he grew up, and the culture. In that particular day, they weren't believers in God. They were believers in gods, many gods. And they worshiped many gods. And they had all sorts of customs that they had. One of the customs that they had is they believed in live sacrifices. Okay? And in many times, they would sacrifice their firstborn child to one of their gods. That was some of the practices that they had. That's what Abraham grew up in. And over the process of time, God began to speak to Abraham. And this is another picture of what the area is. It was called the Fertile Crescent. And again, this is what it kind of looks like today. You can see the various countries that are there on the map. You can see Iran and Iraq. You see Iran up there and Iraq and Kuwait. You can see where Jordan is. Okay, and then you see over here, this is Israel, all the way over here on the left-hand side was Israel. And what's going to happen is God is going to call Abraham, and he says, Abraham, I want you to leave where you have grown up, out of your culture, out of your family. I want you to leave that, and I want you to travel into a place that I will tell you later. Now, we find that he had already gotten married and already started their life. I want to ask the wives something. How many of you wives would get behind your husband if he came in one day after you've lived in this land for quite a long time? You know, you've established, you know where the markets are, you know where, you know, your friends are living, and, you know, you've grown up in this area, and your husband just comes in one day, she says, God's told me we're moving. I don't know where. but we're moving. Now, show of hands, how many of your wives would you say, all right, honey, I'll pack and I'm ready to go? Oh, yeah, well, a couple of you would, but most of you wouldn't, would you? You'd probably say, you are nuts. What do you mean? Tell me where you're going to go and maybe we'll go along with you. But no, God didn't even tell Abraham where he was going to go. He just says, go. And the trip starts. Okay? And so we see that. And we see Abraham's calling. When we go to chapter number 12 in our Bible, we see his calling. In verse number 1, it says, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. Now that means that, you know, in the process of going here, he's staying, and at age 75, he takes his wife, he takes his nephew, and he takes what he has, and he travels to where God wants him to be, not knowing where he was going to be. This is why I say a journey of faith. It takes a lot of faith to follow God, especially for a man whose culture wasn't one that followed God. The culture that Abraham was born in and raised in and lived in up until the time that God called him was a culture that was of many gods. But yet God chose him and he followed God. Later on, it says that he believed God and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God. He trusted God. Okay? He did not have a Bible to go by. He didn't have a church directory to find out whether or not there was a church available in the area that he was going to go. Okay? Because there wasn't any. Okay? He just trusted God. He still took with him some of his culture, some of his background, some of the learning, some of the laws that he had. He still had those things with him. But he began to change because he put his trust in God. And so we see he went on. It says that God blessed him. He was going to bless him. Notice what God said about this. He says, I'm going to make you a name that's great. And he did. Nobody knew Abram, but they know him now. Okay, he was a nobody, but he says, I'm going to make you a somebody if you just follow me. He says, I'll make a great name. He says, I will make thee a great nation. And so out of the loins of Abraham, a nation is going to be born. More than one nation is going to be born because of Abraham. And of course, we know the nation Israel because that's the one that God was leading to. He says, I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. What a promise God is giving to Abraham. And remember, he doesn't really know God. He hasn't ever seen God. He hasn't, you know, the only thing he's heard is God speaks to him. Now, I don't know how he did it, but God, back in that time, I know that God spoke verbally. So I imagine that sometime in the life of Abraham, whatever he was doing, God said, hey, you, Abram, this is God. I'm the God of the universe. I've got a job for you to do. I want you to take your family and I want you to move from here, from this kind of culture, from this type of living, and I'm going to teach you as you go. And I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to make you a great name. I'm going to make a nation come out of you. I'm going to bless those that bless you. And I'm going to curse those that curse you. He had great faith because he was willing to follow. Now, I'll put a little sideline in here. You know, sometimes God tells us he wants to use us in a certain way, And he doesn't tell us all that he's going to do. He just says, I want you to surrender to me. But we're not willing to do it unless God shows us exactly what he wants us to do. We just said, no, you show me what you want to do and I'll do it. Instead of just saying, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. Not even knowing. But Abraham did. So Abraham took his family. Okay? We see the calling of Abraham. Now we're going to see the blessings of Abraham. If we go to chapter number 13, we'll see how God did bless him. Now while he was there, okay, while he was in the land, a famine came. And Abraham, you know, got a little shaky there. He went down into Egypt because there was food down into Egypt. He did get away from God a little bit. You know, he went down there and he told a lie. And the Bible recorded it. You know, that's something about our Bible. It records the failings and shortcomings of its people. So Abraham's going to be a great man in the eyes of the Lord, a great leader, a man that's going to be the father of a great nation. But he was also a man, and he got down into Egypt. And boy, I tell you, his wife must have really been a good-looking woman. Because when he got down there, he said, now, hon, you tell them that you're my sister because they like you. They're going to like you, and they'll probably kill me to get you. And he says, so that my life will be spared, you tell them that you're my sister. And she did. And that was a half-truth, by the way. When you read the scriptures, he goes and explains that. When it's found out, he says, well, yeah, she is a half-sister. She was a sister. She was my mother's daughter. Yeah. But not my father's. And so she was a half-sister. But anyway, we're not going to talk about the failures. There's a couple of other failures we're going to talk about, but it does teach me something. It should teach you something too, that even when we fail, and we will fail. Now don't raise your hand on this, but how many of you have failed the Lord in the past? How many of you have, your faith has wavered over something? And sin came along and the temptation was, you thought was too great and you fell into it. My hand is up. Don't raise your hand. But God still uses people. People who will repent. People that will get it right. People who will go on for Him. He still uses them. And that's what happened to Abraham. He admitted what happened and God blessed him. Let's look what chapter 13 says in verse number 1 and 2. It says, and Abraham went out of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. Wow. Very rich. Very rich. And you can read some of the things that he did. Okay. And where he went. As a matter of fact, he got to the point where he had over 400 servants. You can read the story. We won't go into it today, but he finally got up to that point that he had 400 servants and that followed him. He became a very, very rich man. Okay. God comes along and he reminds him because, remember, he was 75 years old. God promised him, but there was something that was unique about that. His wife, Sarah, did not have a child. And in the culture, in those days, if a wife did not have a child, it was a reproach on her as well as her husband. Right? And she didn't have a child. So how's he going to have a great nation without having children? Well, we can read the account that took place. We can see how the covenant is reestablished in chapter number 15. By the way, this is all introduction. I hope you're taking notes. I haven't even got to the message yet. You're going to see that when I get to it, though. Abraham's covenant was given in Genesis chapter number 15. He reiterates it, 15 verses number 5 and 6. He takes Abraham, and Abraham's beginning to, he's beginning to wonder. He's 75 years old, no child yet. Verse number 5, it says, and he brought him, Abraham, forth abroad and said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou will be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. So God takes him aside, and Abraham's wondering, you know, where's your promise? He's getting a little bit antsy. He's not seeing the promise. Even though he's wealthy at this point, he's not seeing the promise. How many of us do that? We know what the promise of God is, but we don't see it right away. And so we kind of, well, God, do you really love me? Are you really going to take care of my needs? Are you really going to help me through this? And we wonder. And Abraham did the same thing. And God takes him aside. He says, okay, Abraham. He says, I want you to look up. Now, back in those days, remember, they didn't have all the street lights and things that we have. So, boy, can you imagine what the night sky looked like? You've been out in the country where there's no lights and nothing around and just looked up and saw the heavens up there. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful creation that God has given us. He says, I want you to look up there. If you can count the stars, Abraham, if you can count the stars, he says, that's how many people that I'll have from you. And of course, you can't count the stars. And so, we have a vast, vast amount of people that have come out of Abraham. And notice here it says that he believed him and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Okay? He wasn't going to church. He wasn't reading his Bible every day. He wasn't doing the things that we consider to be the things that cause us to be right with God. He just believed God. He believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. Salvation isn't by what we do. Salvation is by what we believe. It's trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's what Abraham did. Well, again, we have a lapse of faith. He still doesn't have a child. Okay? And so, and Sarah's beginning to wonder. Okay? He's getting up there. He's now in his 80s. Now Sarah, verse number 16, now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, a slave, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarah said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, and may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of his wife. She didn't have to twist his arm, by the way. He just listened to her. And of course, if you read the rest of the story, he went in to the slave, to Hagar, and she conceived and had a son. And it says that that Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abram. So he's in his 80s. He's 86 years old, and he has Ishmael. By the way, let me ask you the question. Was he trusting God? No, he was trusting flesh. And again, I ask the question, how many of you have gotten in the flesh and trusted in the flesh, rather than trusting God? I've told the story many times about when we were young. We were having our second son, and my wife was very pregnant, and I was a youth pastor. We had a Pinto wagon at the time, a 4-on-the-floor Pinto wagon, and Amy, our oldest, was still just a little toddler. And I was thinking, boy, I'm a youth pastor and I'm away from home. And if my wife goes into labor and has to go to the hospital, she'll have no way to get there. So I need another vehicle. And they were just coming out with the Ford Couriers. Okay, they had just coming out with it. And there was one, they had a Ford Courier on one of the lots. It was a sky blue Ford Courier. And they had put chrome rims on it to make it look kind of sporty. And I saw that. And I says, I got to have that because if I'm doing work for the Lord with the young people and I'm away from home, my wife will have a car that she can drive. I mean, I'm not thinking that here's, a woman that's 9 months pregnant, and she's in labor, and she's going to drive a four-speed Pinto wagon to the hospital to get her there. You know, that doesn't cross my mind. My mind said, I need this, and I can take young people. I can travel around with them. You know, that was when you could throw them in the back of the truck, and it was okay. You know, you didn't have to have seat belts or a camper shell or anything on them. And that's what I'm thinking. And I went out and I bought that. I didn't pray about it. I didn't seek God's guidance on it. I didn't ask Him, what should I do? I just said, I like that. I want that. I'm going to go get it. And I went and got it. Took me 6 months begging God to take it away from me before I finally sold it and got rid of it. Bad move. I got in the flesh. How about you? Have you ever gotten the flesh? You didn't ask God? You didn't trust Him enough to take care of you, and so you went and did something on your own instead of letting God take care of you, and then it got you into deep trouble? Oh well. By the way, we have the problem today with descendants of Abraham because of his lack of faith. Because you see, the Ishmaelites branched off, and they had their tribes, and a lot of the Ishmaelites are the nations over there now that hate Israel and their cousins. Isn't that something? Well, anyway, Abraham has a lack of faith. Well, the next thing we see in Abraham's life is Abraham sees the Lord in chapter number 17. So now we're up here. The child is grown, and now Abraham is 99 years old. Okay? Now you got to understand something in the wording on this. It says, and when Abraham was 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant it was thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now he goes on and tells him that he is going to have a son from Sarah, or Sarai. Now he's 99 years old, and God promised him, and he says, Ishmael was not the promised son. He said, I have a promise for you. But it wasn't Ishmael. Ishmael was of the flesh. Later on in the book of Hebrews, we're told that is a picture of the flesh versus the spirit. He says, Ishmael's of the flesh. I am going to bless you with a son. And Abraham's 99 years old. Now, they lived longer back in those days. Okay? And their age span was, you know, stretched out a little bit. But still, 99 years of age is pretty old to be having kids again. Sarah's 10 years younger than he is. And the Bible says that she was beyond the years of having children. And God says to him, listen, I'm going to bless you, but not with Ishmael. I'm going to bless you with your own child. And Sarah hears it. She laughs, okay, in the tent. Yeah, right. God's going to give us another child. By the way, did you know that Isaac means laughter? God said, you're going to have a child and you're going to call it Isaac because Sarah laughed. And she said, oh, I didn't laugh. And she said, oh, yes, you did. I heard you. You laughed. Is anything too hard for God? And so God is trying to tell to Abraham, he says, you're going to have a son. And about the time of life, you're going to have a son. Verse number 18, it says, chapter number 18, verse number 11, says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. But he says, you're going to have a son. And sure enough, what happens? A year later, they have Isaac. And he's the son. Now this is it, you know, he receives the promise. Verse number 21, chapter number 21, he receives the promise. Okay? He receives the promise. And it says here, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, And the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, and Sarah conceived and bare Abram a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abram called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac, being 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And Abram was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Wow. God fulfilled his promise. That tells me something too, that God always fulfills his promises. It might not be when we want to, and it might not be the way we want to, but God always, always fulfills his promises. Abraham's 100 years old, and he has a son. And he's rejoicing, and the son begins to grow. He sends the other son, Ishmael, away. Some people think that was cruel to send the other boy away. But remember, Abraham is carrying with him the culture that he came from, and in the culture that he came from, and this is interesting, this is why we study, this is something that I even didn't know until I really started studying for this, that in their culture, that if you had a son by a slave, and did not call him your son, he wasn't your son and didn't have any inheritance. So a man could go and have several wives and have children by those, or not several wives, but concubines and slaves and have children by them, but they were not legally his children. And he could do whatever he wanted to with them. Okay? And so Isaac was his son, his legal son. Ishmael was not. And so he sent Ishmael away. He gave them some blessings and sent them away. And now he's going to raise Isaac. Okay? And now we get to the message. Abraham's faith is tested. Okay? I'm going to put three things up here. We're in chapter number 22, and we're going to go through this rather fast, because I know you're getting hungry. And it came to pass in those after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, and remember, as his only legal son, take thy son and thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abram rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto the young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. Now remember, God said, take your son Isaac and offer him as a sacrifice. He tells the young men that are with him, we're going to go, but we're coming back. That tells me that Abraham's faith is being tested, but he still had faith in God. Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went forth of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. So as they're going up the hill, and we don't know how old Isaac is at this time, but he's a young lad. There are some that believe he could have been anywhere between 20 and 30 years of age at this time. But he's going up. Abraham has told him what he's going to do. I'm going to take you and I'm going to offer you as a sacrifice. So not only do we see the faith of Abraham, but we see the faith of his son. Isaac has faith in God, even though he knows that he's going to be the sacrifice. And he asks the question. He says, we have the fire. We have the wood. Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? They had the tools that were necessary for the sacrifice. As we continue reading, you can see that he got to wherever they were going to go. He took and he built an altar out of stones and he built up the altar. He placed the wood the way it was supposed to be placed. And then he placed his son. He bound his son and placed him on that altar. And the Bible tells us that he was about to take the knife and plunge it into the chest of his own son and offer him as a burnt sacrifice, just like they did in Ur of the Chaldees. But Abraham's faith was so strong that he says, I'm going to do this, even though God has taken me out of that. I'm going to do this because I believe he'll bring him back to life. We can read that in the book of Hebrews. So there he is. He's bound. Can you imagine what's going through Isaac's mind at this time? Oh, Lord, I sure hope God, I hope Dad got this down right. But I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust my father and I'm going to trust his God. Let's continue reading. It says, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. And they came to the place which God told them of, and Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and he took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. And it is said to be this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. God seeth all is what that means. And so Isaac asks the question, we have the fire, we have the wood, we have the means, we know how to build the altar, we know how to use the wood that's going to do it. Where's the lamb? And God provided him as lamb. So that's where the title of my message comes in. You say, oh no. Whew. Yep, that's the title of the message. We have the wood. We have the altar. We have the sacrifice. But the question is, where's the fire? Where's the fire? We have the wood. It's the Word of God. It's the things that are needed for us to walk spiritually with our God and to trust Him. We have that and we can read it. We have the stones for building an altar. We have the local church, our church together, and we can build a stone. Okay? We have the sacrifice, for God gave Himself, the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus Christ became the sacrifice, just as the ram was caught in the thicket for Abraham that took the place of Isaac, his son. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, took our place on the cross of Calvary for our sins. So we have that. So we have the wood. We have the stones for the altar. We have the sacrifice. But where's the fire? So what? Where's the fire? Where's our commitment to prayer? Where's the fire in praying? How often do we pray? How often do we shed tears for those that are lost? How often do we pray for our friends and our loved ones? How often do we gather together for prayer? Where's that fire that causes us to pray? Where's our hunger for righteousness? The Bible tells us in Matthew, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Where's that hunger? Where's that burning desire to learn God's Word? Where's that thirst where we thirst for the things of God? Is it just one day a week, 1 hour a week that we say, well, we've met together and yeah, okay, we've done our duty. But there's no fire in the bosom. There's no hunger. There's no thirst where it says, the doors are open. I've got to go. I've got a Bible. I've got to read it. I've got a God. I've got to pray to Him. Where's the fire that caused that? Where's our sacrifice? The Bible tells us in the book of Romans that we're to be a sacrifice. We're to give ourselves as a sacrifice. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Where's the sacrifice? Where's that fire that causes us to say, I won't think of myself, but I'll think of others. I'm not thinking of my needs and my problems, but I'm thinking of somebody else's. Where's that fire that causes us to say, I'll sacrifice, I'll give up something so that I can serve God? Where's that fire? Okay? Where's the faithfulness? The Bible tells us that we need to be faithful. It says in Corinthians, the first chapter, our fourth chapter, it says, let a man account of us as of ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Where's the faithfulness to keep going and be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there and do what we're supposed to do when we're supposed to do it and give what we're supposed to give when we're supposed to give it? Where's the faithfulness? Where's that fire that causes us to be faithful and says, I've got to be in the house of God. I've got to serve God. I've got to be what God wants me to be. I can't be anything else. I tell you, I remember, you know, we sing that song, I've decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. We sang that the very summer that I finally surrendered to be what God wanted me to be, whatever it was. I did not want to be a preacher. I'm a very shy person. I always have been. I'm an introvert. You say, oh, come on. But I am. I always have been. I would rather, when I was in school, I would take an F rather than give an oral report. I just would not do it. Anytime we got with any type of crowd whatsoever, I found the darkest, loneliest spot in the room that I could get to get away from that. Because I was afraid to get in front of people. And I finally said, God kept working on me for over a year. I was saved for over a year. And He kept working on me. He says, I want you to be a preacher. And I said, I don't want to do that. I want to be a doctor. I want to be a heart surgeon. That's what I want to do. And God says, but I want you to go into ministry. And I said, I can't go. It's kind of like Moses. I can't go. I can't get up in front of people. My tongue gets all tangled up and I can't take what I'm saying. I can't do it. God says, if I've called you to do it, you can do it. Trust me. And I did. I finally said all that. The last night, I said, okay, I'll do it. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do whatever you want me to be. But you're going to have to do it. And we sang that song. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. And they had a little ravine out there that they had built a bridge over, and we walked across the bridge, and we were told to put down in writing what we had done, the decisions that we had made for God. And when we got to the middle of the bridge, we put them in a little wicker basket, and when we got all the way across, they lit the bridge on fire and burned it down. No turning back. And I remember that. And that was years and 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 years ago. And there's been times I've gotten discouraged. There have been times I've said, you know, is it worth it all? But every time there's a burning in my heart, just like it was in Jeremiah, and he says, I'm not going to preach anymore. But he says, there's a burning in my heart that I can't contain it. And there becomes a burning in my soul that says, you've got to keep serving God. You've got to be faithful. Where's your burning? Where's your faithfulness? Is there a burning there? Where's the fire? You've got the wood. You've got the boulders that build you up. You've got the sacrifice. But where's the fire? Where's the fire that keeps you going? Where's the compassion for the lost? The Bible tells us that he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. And he'll be rejoicing. Where's our compassion for the lost? Do we have that anymore? Do we see people as lost? Do we envision people dying and going to hell? And we have the answer, and that's Jesus Christ? Where's our compassion for that? I'll have to be honest. Sometimes I grow very, very cold on that. Well, you know, that means I have to speak up. I've got to get out of my comfort box a little bit. I've got to push myself a little bit to hand out a gospel tract. Do we need to ask God to fire us up a little bit? I think we do. Where's the compassion for the lost souls? Where's the zeal for service? Don't call on me to serve. I'm too busy. Too busy to serve God? Too busy? Kind of like the disciples. When Jesus was praying, they all fell asleep. He says, couldn't you watch and pray for an hour? Can't you pray for an hour on Monday night? Can't you pray for an hour on Wednesday night? Can't you spend some time with God? Can't you do something for the Lord? Where's the zeal for service? Where's the fire for that? Well, I'm afraid that sometimes the fire in many of us has gone out, or is going out, is getting awfully dim. I'm going to close with this thought. Habakkuk put it pretty good. In Habakkuk, the third chapter, verse number two, he said this, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk's praying for revival. What about you? Are you praying for revival? Do you have that burning in your soul? The men right after Jesus died, and they were on the road to Emmaus, two of them, and Jesus appeared to them, and he began to talk to them and tell them about him and tell him about the things that he needed to do. And when he left, they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us when we talked with the Lord? Does your heart burn within you? If not, maybe you need to get with the Lord and say, God, light a fire in me. Light a fire in me. Give me that commitment to prayer. Lord, give me that hunger for righteousness. God, help me to be the sacrifice I ought to be. Help me to be faithful. Help me to have compassion for the lost. Help me to have the zeal for the work, for your work. Light a fire in me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for the message that we see in Abraham's life and how, Heavenly Father, you guided him. And all he had to do was just trust you, just believe in you. And you moved him and you led him and you protected him and you made a promise to him. And he had to wait a long time for that promise, but the promise came true. He had Isaac, and Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Jacob had the 12 sons, and the 12 sons came to be the 12 main tribes of Israel, and Israel has become a great nation. And even beyond that, there's others that have become a nation as a result of Abraham's faith. And he continued, Heavenly Father, you want to use us, maybe not in that capacity, but Lord, you want us to be prayer warriors. You want us to be on fire for souls. You want us to have a zeal for your work. You want us to be faithful. Heavenly Father, light a fire in us. Have a revival in our hearts. Start it with me, and may it spread to others. And we'll give you praise for it. In Jesus' name.